I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, that's on page 948. And as you're turning there, we're actually going to begin reading with verse 9 and then reading through the 21st verse, through the end of the chapter. Hear the word of God. Romans 12, beginning with verse 9. That's on page 948 of our pew Bibles. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your sure, steadfast, saving love for us in Christ, and you call us to show that love to those who seek to hurt us, Lord, your enemies, our enemies, Lord, enemies of the gospel. I pray that as we study these verses from your holy word, Lord, give us grace so that we might understand them, but pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit and for the glory of your name that we would be living out these transforming truths of your word. By the power of the risen Christ, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, back in the day, when a gentleman experienced a beef with someone, he would challenge them to a duel. One of the most famous duels in American history took place when then Vice President Aaron Burr challenged his longtime political foe, Alexander Hamilton, to a duel on July 11, 1804. It seems that in Burr's opinion, Hamilton had publicly and persistently attacked Burr, stating, and these are Hamilton's own words, "I feel it is a religious duty to oppose his career." And so they came together in a duel, and Aaron Burr, fatally wounded Alexander Hamilton, who died a day later from those wounds. It seemed that Burr believed it was a matter of honor, his words, to challenge his despised detractor to a duel. And Burr's life went downhill from there. He actually later died a broken man in 1836. Well, how do we then handle our desire for revenge when our detested foe seeks to destroy our character or disgrace them? Do we challenge them to a duel? Do we go back and shoot at one another from 50 paces or whatever? Yeah, or do we fight fire with fire, speak hateful and hurtful words to our enemies? Or do we seek to show them the love of Christ? I invite you to keep your Bibles open here to Romans 12, verse 19 through 21. Here we learned that the triumphant love of Christ empowers us as believers to lovingly resist revenge. Does the triumphant love of Christ still empower us today to resist revenge? And the answer is yes. You know, we, by the power of the risen Christ, the love of Christ, can resist revenge. We can respond in love. And most importantly, we can run to Christ for strength and gracious guidance. We begin there with verse 19. A little bit more plain this morning, three verses, 3 points here. We are to resist revenge. That's God's loving but tough command. A New American Standard, you know, following the Greek, translates it this way: never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, literally, that's the way the verse starts. Not yourselves, plural, he's speaking to the church here, to all Christians, not yourselves avenging. You know, we are never to take our own revenge. You know, don't take justice into our own hands. It's not only here in Romans 12, but we hear it back in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 29. Proverbs 24, 29, do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. You know, not yourselves avenging. And then the word beloved. You know, to those who are loved in Christ, to those who know the love of Christ. You know, and already we can see where that power comes from, that strength comes from to resist revenge. It's from the love of Christ, you know, wedding language. You know, we don't use that word beloved too often, maybe Valentine's Day. Used in weddings still. A preacher says, dearly beloved, you know, we are gathered here today. You know, beloved, those who have been lovingly redeemed by the shed blood of Christ. You know, love sacrificially, sincerely, steadfastly. You know, going through Romans, and I know we're moving at a slow pace here, but been struck, you know, by that theme of love in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then again, Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Read this at Barbara's service yesterday. Romans 8, 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we are the beloved. You know, we whose lives have been graciously transformed by the love of God in Christ. You know, again, thinking about that word beloved, Douglas Moo calls the beloved, quote, sinners who have quite undeservedly experienced the love of God in Christ. not yourselves avenging, beloved. And now the tough part. But leave it to the wrath of God. Love, wrath. You know, they are side by side. Leave it to the wrath of God. Give place to, leave room for. We could almost say stand back. You know, and let God be God. Let our holy God show his holy hatred against sin. You know, God's wrath. You know, again, another theme we see in Romans, right there at the very beginning. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So who will endure the holy wrath of a holy God? It's those who are ungodly, those who are unrighteous, those who will not bend the knee, those who will not repent but are resistant to God's grace. They suppress the truth. So we are to resist the sinful urge to inflict our own revenge on our enemy. R.C. Sproul put it this way, to retaliate is so natural to our makeup that it is one of the most difficult attitudes to overcome in the Christian life. Again, we are to stand back and let our just and righteous God judge sinners. You know, and then a quote here, the Apostle Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Read it here from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32, verse 35 and 36. This is the song of Moses. Vengeance is mine and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand and their doom comes swiftly. Verse 36, for the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Here we see that the just judge of all the earth will do right. You know, it's a sin here that tempts us still today. You know, the sixth commandment, you know, thou shalt not kill. More properly translated, thou shalt not murder. You know, spells out, tells us that we are to resist revenge. Westminster Larger Catechism. Many of us are familiar with the Shorter Catechism. Well, the Westminster Larger Catechism is indeed larger, longer. But question 136 asks the question, what are the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment? You know, thou shalt not kill. A little bit longer sentence, so hold on tight. The sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all taking away the life of ourselves or of others, except in case of public justice, lawful war, or necessary defense, the neglecting or withdrawing the lawful and necessary means of preservation of life, sinful anger, hatred, envy, and then hear this, desire of revenge, all excessive passions, distracting cares, immoderate use of meat, drink, labor, and recreations, provoking words, oppression, quarreling, striking, wounding, and whatsoever else tends to the destruction of the life of any. Well, how can we as Christians then resist revenge? and even the desire for revenge, we leave room for the wrath of God. We live as God's beloved ones. We have the assurance of gospel hope. You know, in the second verse there of "In Christ Alone," love the hymn, but it has there the second verse. It's there in our worship bulletin. "In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God, and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save." And then this line, "Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live." You know, it was Jesus Christ, Son of God, who endured, bore the punishment for our sin there on the cross, endured God's holy wrath against sin. You know, how can we do anything less than to resist revenge? You know, as the love of Christ fills our hearts, resist revenge. You know, that's God's loving but tough command. Verse 20, we are to respond with love. You know, here's God's loving but transforming command. We are to proactively show love to our neighbors. Active good. You know, read that to the children. Read it again for us. Verse 20, to the contrary, strong adversative. You know, quite the opposite. You know, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. You know, so the picture is this here in Scripture. When your enemy is hungry, you know, don't wait for him to come to you. Do you have anything to eat? The Lord calls us as his children, as his witnesses, gospel witnesses, to take the first step. You know, to give food to the hungry. You know, again, it's not only here in Romans chapter 12, it's there, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21, Proverbs 25, 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. No, there's a great account in the Old Testament. Would commend it to you for your reading today, sometime, 2 Kings chapter 6. But let me give you a thumbnail sketch. Elisha is the prophet. There is a king of Israel, but the king of Syria, Israel's dread enemy, is warring against Israel, and God struck these enemies with blindness. And what did Elisha do? He prayed to the Lord that the Lord would open their eyes so that their sight might be restored. And so, reading a couple verses here, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 22. Well, verse 21 and following, as soon as the king of Israel saw them, this is after their enemy's sight has been restored. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down? You know, Lord, should I get my revenge now on these enemies?" And how does Elisha respond? He answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow?" And then hear this. "Set bread and water before them so that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. And then I love this part. "And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel." You know, that's the work of God. you know, our gracious God with our enemies. You know, respond with love, the love of Christ. You know, how can Christians, you know, carry out this transforming command today? You know, God calls us to take the first step in showing gospel love, showing the mercy of Christ, speaking of grace. And now comes the difficult part, back to Romans chapter 12, verse 20. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. There are at least four different interpretations of what that means. If you want to know, I'll be glad to tell you, but let me offer what I believe is the most biblically consistent interpretation of that verse. You know, there are some who say, well, if we show them the love of Christ, then we're just going to make them squirm and speed their way to hell. No, that, I don't believe that's what this verse is teaching. You know, again, that this same truth is quoted in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 22, after you know, feed your enemy, give them something to drink, Proverbs 25, 22, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. It's quoted in Psalm 140, verse 10, that was read for us, that we read together this morning, Psalm 140, verse 10, let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. So, you know, we see it used here throughout Scripture. What does it mean? You know, when believers actively show the love of Christ to their enemies and to God's enemies, I believe the Lord will use that gospel witness. We'll use that humble witness to plant a gospel seed in their hearts. And that gospel seed will either bring them to saving faith in Christ, you know, that's our prayer, or that gospel seed that they reject will bring God's holy wrath to bear upon them one day. They heard the word. They will sinfully reject any humble expression of Christ's love, which leads to God's righteous judgment. You know, and one day the Lord himself will bring those burning coals upon their head. That's not our task. You know, think of it this way. Think of coals of fire. It said the sun, you know, the hot sun, you know, when it is shining down upon clay, it will harden the clay. But when that hot shining sun shines down upon the wax, it will soften the wax. You know, and here, the love of Christ will harden the unrepentant heart of the sinner, bring God's holy judgment to bear on them. But it's our charge, I believe, to show the love of Christ, to be proactive in showing the love of Christ to our enemies, feed our enemies, give them something to drink when they're thirsty. You know, they still may hate us, spit in our face, say ugly words about us, but we leave them to the Lord. Will not the just judge of all the earth do right? Illustration. The ladies of Hope Presbyterian Church have been graciously feeding the grieving families of our church after funeral services. You know, Patsy's service back in September, September 18th. Barbara's yesterday, October the 9th. A little foretaste of the banqueting that we'll enjoy one day in heaven, two long tables of meat, vegetables, yams, Buddha, dirty rice, and I know I'm going to miss something, sweet tea, lemonade, cold water, a spread of desserts. You know, as your pastor, you know, I'm grateful for the ministry of the ladies. I know men were involved in it too. You know, of feeding the hungry, you know, providing drinks to the thirsty. You know, it's a good thing when we do that. We show the love of Christ to one another. But hear God's word as well, you know, calls us as his children, you know, to respond with love when we see our enemy is hungry, thirsty. Food and water are a great start. We don't stop there. They need to hear the words of the gospel. You know, but what else, you know, does Christ call us to do? He calls us to serve our enemies. You know, think of Jesus. You know, there, Last Supper, you know, all the disciples are gathered around. You know, and we read this in John 13, verse 25. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly. Feed your enemies. Give drink to them when they are thirsty. Show gospel kindness. Pray for their salvation." You know, before we move on here from verse 20, Chuck Swindoll, who served as a Marine, had this this note in his commentary. Romans 12, verse 20 is not a proof text for pacifism or foreign policy or protecting family. You know, don't lift this verse out of context. You know, but what is God's word teaching us here? You know, that the Lord graciously designs to use us, you know, to show his love, his gospel love to his and our enemies. You know, finally there, verse 21, we are to run to Christ. You know, we are not only to resist revenge, God's loving but tough command, we are to respond with love, God's loving but transforming command, but we are to run to Christ and the cross. You know, this is God's loving but triumphant command. King James translates verse 21 this way, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, literally stop being conquered by the evil. It could properly be understood as the evil one, Satan himself. Stop being conquered. You know, you're giving in. You are losing, you know, apart from the grace of God in Christ. You know, you're being tempted to seek revenge. You know, but like Joseph in Egypt, you know, let us provide food. Remember, Joseph is there in Egypt. His brothers come down. He could have had them thrown in prison, could have had them killed. What does he do? He provides food for them. Genesis 45:11 sends them back home. Stop being conquered by the evil one. If you know, there are too often times in our Christian life where we're struggling, we're hurting, and we're trying to find out, Lord, why am I losing steam, zeal, holy affection for Christ? And I believe often, you know, here's the root cause. Unforgiven sin. Someone has hurt us deeply, painfully, you know, in the past. Lord, I can't let it go. Lord, I'd like to see them dead, or at the very least maimed. You know, and here the Lord tells us, do not stop being overcome by evil. But, again, strong adversative, but overcome the evil with the good. You know, and who is the good? You know, it's not our good. You know, we don't have that good in ourselves. You know, the good is Christ. You remember that parable, or not that parable, that encounter Jesus has with the rich young man. And won't read the whole account, but just one verse, Matthew 19, verse 17. This is Jesus, and he said to him, the rich young ruler, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. You know, who is the good? It is Christ. You know, we overcome the evil by the good, by the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. You know, Christ who conquered sin and death in the grave at the cross for us. You know, John Stott put it this way, to repay evil for evil is to be overcome by it. To repay good for evil is to overcome evil with good. This is the way of the cross. Such is the masterpiece of love. Yes, we will have enemies until Christ comes again or he calls us home. Enemies, you know, it's not just someone who annoys us. Not even someone who just verbally abuses us. There are enemies, but ultimately we Scripture here calls us to see them as enemies of Christ. They hate Christ. They hate the followers of Christ. They hate the gospel. They hate the word of God, the worship of God, the work of God. And what does God's gospel call us to? Not only call us to, but empower us to live it out, to resist revenge, to respond with love when we see our enemy in need, to run to Christ and the cross. But let us especially remember to proclaim that triumphant love of our good and gracious Savior, even Jesus Christ. We need it as followers of Christ. A lost, dying world needs to see and hear of the triumphant love of God in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your unfailing, unending love for us in Christ. Lord, we were once your enemies, and yet you are the one who graciously reached out to us in love. You drew us to yourself. We have been reconciled to a holy God by the work of Christ there at the cross, Lord. We praise you for that glorious, gracious gospel work. But Lord, guide us, grow us, even goad us, Father, so that we might show that love of Christ to the enemy, so that they might come to saving faith in Christ. All to your glory and praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.